Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 617. If you want me to come speak to your group, it's really easy, at least to get the process started. All you have to do is make a phone call. 1-575-461-2716. It's that simple. And when you call me, we can talk about what needs to happen to make it worth my while, to make it work for you too. If you want me to come to speak to a group, you want me to do a breakout session, you need me to be a part of your next conference, I'd be glad to do it for you. This is Jay Nemro. Yikes. And I'm starting to sound like a freaking advertisement. That's what people want when they go to a conference, right? A really smooth-sounding advertisement for something, whether it's an idea or a product. And I'm much more about the ideas than the products. I was doing a recording for Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlist, and I don't do that very much anymore because I tend to just want to go ahead and podcast everything. Very rarely do I end up changing it over and saying, I didn't like how it went, so I'm going to make it a Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlist recording. And I was just doing one because I didn't have a thing in my head. But then all of a sudden, I started talking about something. And I said, wait, this will be good. This will be good. It's a Life Autistic one. So there it is. So here I am. And this is all about discovering yourself. I was thinking to myself about what motivates people. Thank you. Thank you. There was somebody who called. Wrong number, thank goodness. What motivates people? And what really doesn't motivate people? At least as far as I'm aware of. You know, And I find there's so many interesting, different people that one really can't make blanket statements about nearly anything. And you don't really want to try. Now, for most people, going to a conference, going to a presentation, I imagine you'll have a few different kinds of people. One of the kinds of people you will not have are people who go do their job as an hourly wage earner or something like that, and they want to go home at night, and basically what makes their life worth living is going home at night, kicking back, perhaps imbibing in some sort of alcoholic beverage, probably on the cheap side, sorry. Maybe not, you know, I'm not going to try to say it's a socioeconomic status thing, but often it is. If you want to think about poor people and what poor people do, you might be able to find poor people, more poor people in this kind of circumstance. They go out, they work, they make their money, they bring their money home, and they have their fulfillment at home doing that kind of stuff. And I don't want to say that this is bad. You know, we need tons of those people. We need tons of those people, and that's what's it. You know, they want to get a big screen TV, and they're willing to work at a job that's not really fulfilling, not really very high-paying, not really anything like that, to be able to get it. Or to get a nice truck or a car, or to have a nice house. And that's what makes those people happy. The job, the work that they do is somewhat superfluous to that. I've been accused of being like that for the simple reason I don't have a career. He's not a very career-minded person. And you go, well, okay, well, we may get onto that later, but that ends up being about me, and that might not be very important, except to me. You have those people. Those are the people that aren't going to tend to go to conferences and stuff like that. They would only go to those things if their job required them to do it, and they'd mostly be picking their teeth, being bored. And I've done that. I've done that. I've been in that circumstance where I was paid to show up at conferences, be at meetings, and I would do that. These are not the people who are going to be your corporate CEO. These are not the people that are going to rise in the company at all. These are not the people that are going to be well-respected experts in their fields, by and large. The people who show up at these kinds of things tend to be movers and shakers. They are wanting to get up in the corporation. Now, it might be for money reasons. It might be for the goodies and the accoutrements that might come from doing these things. It might be. But to a point, I think they will hit a wall in doing that, you know, if it's just about the money. I'm trying to make more money, therefore I'm going to take this kind of a job or that kind of a job. And if they get confused or befuddled because, you know, why am I hitting this ceiling? You know, when people talk about the glass ceiling, you know, women used to get weird about that. I hit a glass ceiling, and you know, and they would blame it on, you know, the patriarchy, the fact that they can't get into the upper echelons. Now, I'm not going to say that there isn't a certain amount of cronyism. I'm sure there is. I don't know. I've never been into that kind of stuff. I am not a corporate type. I'm not interested in that kind of thing. If I were to ever want to start a company to be the CEO of it, I'd start my own company right off the bat, and I'd just put down on the piece of paper, instead of putting down owner or something like that, I'd put CEO if I wanted to get that kind of, you know, if I needed that kind of ego lift. I would just do it. I could be the CEO of my company tomorrow. That's not hard. You can start a company and appoint yourself whatever you want to. If you want to be the chairman of the board, you can call yourself that. Of course, if the board only consists of you, that's really kind of pointless. You can start a corporation, have five guys do it. They can all be on the board of directors, and feel good. Of course, you know, one of them is going to end up wanting to be the chairman, and that might be when it falls apart, when everybody starts bickering over who gets to be the top dog of the five. You always have to be interested when people are going for titles and stuff like that. For when it comes down to what you really want out of life, it's interesting that some people really want accoutrements, a title, a desk, an office. They want a certain look. They want to dress a certain way. They want to go to certain parties. They want to be of a certain socioeconomic class. And whenever I looked at that and looked at people who really kind of do that and people who feel authentic while they're doing it, these things tend to be the byproducts of what they're really doing. You know, I want to be the CEO of a corporation isn't how most people become CEOs of corporations. It was almost just something that kind of happened, incidental to what they were trying to accomplish in life. You know, if they wanted, you know, if they said, I want to be an electrical engineer and I want to be a good one, and I'll pour myself into that. You know, there may be several different titles they get called. One of them might end up being CEO if they go off in that direction, if they decide to go into the management side of electrical engineering. And they end up being the manager of that. They might become the CEO of a electronic engineering firm or a company that's a big part of what they do. But it ends up being incidental to them doing this stuff, to them pursuing their what they want to do. You know, I'd have to say that most corporate CEOs didn't start saying, I want to be the CEO of a corporation. Some of them do, but I think less than 50% of corporate CEOs started saying, I want to be the CEO of a major corporation. In fact, for most of these guys, that title didn't even exist when they were in their dreaming phase, you know, when they were young and saying, this is what I want to be when I grow up. You know, that wasn't even part of the thing. You know, it might have existed, or they might not even have had a concept of it. They had other things in mind. When people say, oh, wow, Bill Gates is the chairman of Microsoft Corporation, that wasn't because he worked himself up to that. Bill Gates was the chairman of Microsoft. He was the founder, which is, you know, I don't know how impressive that is. He started a company called Microsoft when he was a kid, when he was in college. It was before he dropped out. He decided, you know what, I'm not, the college isn't taking me where I want to go. So the fact that Bill Gates was the chairman of Microsoft Corporation, you know, the fact that he was the CEO for quite a while, perhaps, whatever his titles ended up being, is totally superfluous. He basically had that power and the equivalent of that title since he was in his 20s. That's not what was impressive about him. That's not the big deal. The big deal was he built this company. You know, nobody else was the big cheese of this, and then all of a sudden, you know, he took the reins. He always had the reins. He started out with a horse car. Then all of a sudden, he was hauling behind him all kinds of stuff. That's how that happened. Don't let yourself forget stuff, because you'll think there's only one way of getting what you want, but there aren't. There are so many ways of doing it, it's almost incredible. Now, you might choose a way that kind of fits your needs and desires, that might fit your abilities, you know. I don't think Bill Gates was going to be interested in going to college to get his MBA so that he could start out at some little corporation as some low-level bean counter and work his way up to being the chairman of the board. You know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. From minute one, from his 25th birthday, he was calling the shots. You know, he chose to start small and get big. Instead of being a big fish in a big pond, instead of being a small fish in a big pond and trying to get bigger, he decided that he was going to be the big fish in the little pond, just make the pond bigger. And he did, and did an excellent job of it. You know, anything you think about Bill Gates, about whether you love him or you hate him or you think he's evil or you think he's good, he certainly knew what he wanted and he went for it. How about that for simplicity? Let people know how to do something, I guess. I don't know. There's all kinds of ways to get what you want. You have to figure out, is that really what you want? That's probably the most important thing on the whole issue. What do you want? Do you really want this? Or is that just a byproduct? If you find that you're chasing byproducts, and you're not getting it, that's probably the reason, because it's a byproduct. A big house usually comes to a successful person because he's successful, not because he always dreamed of having a big house. That might give him some incentive to go out and do something, but that's all it really ended up being, was maybe an initial incentive. You find successful people that have these things. If you say, I want a big house like this, how do you do it? He would give you a funny look. He or she would give you a funny look and kind of go, you know, even if they could articulate it, most of them can, because successful people know about themselves. They know about things. They've developed that over time. It's not, you know, I don't know of any college course that can teach this, because that's not what college is about. College doesn't teach success. College teaches how to be a good employee. And since I'm not interested in being an employee, then college is somewhat redundant. It's not important. Now, people who find that out later, of course, had college, and that's usually what happens. These are realizations that don't come when you're in your 20s, typically. Some people can get them when they're in their 20s, but most people won't figure this stuff out until their late 30s, early 40s, moving on into their 50s. And so they've already gone to college. They did all that stuff. And that's what gives kind of that weird weird picture that, oh, well, you know, successful people go to college first and then they go on. And you go, not necessarily. It's not necessarily a correlation. It isn't a bad thing, though. I'm not saying don't go to college if you want to be successful. I'm just saying don't expect college to breed success. It doesn't, typically. At least not that kind of success. You, after you get out of college, you have a reasonable chance of having a job. And one that's decent paying. That's what it's there for. It's supposed to give you the kind of training or the kind of mentality, whatever it is, that's needed to, you know, be a low-level manager. You know, be a technician of something. You know, that level of thing. If that's all you want out of life, yes, please go to college. That's why we call it the default. The default is go to high school, graduate from high school. Go to college, pick some field. I guess if you're wanting money, you go to that list that everybody gets when they're in their like junior and senior year of high school. It says the 10 hottest jobs that make the most money, and you pick out of those what you want, you know. When I go to college, you know, I'm at the place I'm at now. I make $200,000 a year, and the guys get all, you know, they start panting. Thinking about what they're going to do with $200,000 a year. And it's funny, you know, because it's like the fact that this guy makes $200,000 a year and you see him at some kind of a conference on success and doing well in school. School has absolutely nothing to do with the $200,000 they tend to make. It was stuff they did after school. The fact that they were just better at this stuff than other people were, or had more enthusiasm, or had more drive, wanted to accomplish something, or wanted to get themselves into a certain situation, that's what got them the $200,000. It wasn't typically the college that did it, honestly. Very, very rarely does your college get you that. The simple reason that you went to college probably wouldn't get you that. There you go. I think that speaks the truth better. But then again, college is a business, and college is like your neighborhood drug dealer. They kind of sell you a picture of yourself. You know, you'll feel euphoria, whatever. You know. When you go to college, you'll be able to get these kinds of jobs. And usually they aren't really, you know, they'll usually pump it up and say, okay, you know, this guy went to college and he makes this kind of money. And like I was saying, college really wasn't the contributing factor to that. There are some colleges that are preferable above others, you know, especially if your first job is to impress people. And it isn't really about what you're doing. It's about impressing people. You know, if you go to MIT to learn computer engineering, that will help you in your first job after college. You may get that, but, you know, you'll either sink or swim based on your talents, based on your actual ability and your ability to get better or to find opportunities and take advantage of them. That's where this stuff all comes from. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't matter. You could have the best-looking degree from the best-looking university in the world, but after that first job, if you schmucked up, if you didn't have social skills, if you didn't have any of the extra things that it takes to really succeed in a corporation or a business or wherever you went for that first job, I'm sorry. It's not going to help because they tend to call around. If you're switching jobs and you don't have a reputation that's amazing, they are going to ask your old employer, so how did it go? How, you know, what kind of a person were they? And they'll come back and they'll say, well, you know, he was really kind of frankly a disappointment, and he didn't do very well. And then it becomes you trying to fight your growing reputation for just having an impressive-looking piece of paper, but not being able to deliver on the goods. That's why, you know, it's okay. I'm not saying don't go to college. That's a good default because you'll probably get better jobs and live a happier life that makes more money if you have gone to college than if you haven't. Statistics bear that out. Averages bear that out. But those averages don't take into account guys like Bill Gates, who was a high school graduate only, and who ended up being one of the richest men in the world. He isn't counted because he skews the thing horribly. You know, he raises the income average of people who are only high school graduates as compared to college graduates. He skews it horribly. But there's plenty of people that would if they were included. You don't include them. You try to separate them out because that doesn't make a school look correct. That, you know, that doesn't make, you know, that doesn't fit the schema that means that schools continue to get as much money as they want, that colleges are well endowed by states and by corporations and by things like that. That's part of the whole trick is saying what is important is not you as a person. What's important is the reputation of the college. That's why they're always touting their great success stories. This person went to this college, and he became this amazing thing. And they always tend to credit themselves, you know, it was his college experience that made it possible for him to do this. You could have that too! And it's like, no. Trust me. And sometimes we take it hook, line, and sinker, and that successful person will say, oh, I really do think it was my college. And that's because, and I'm not saying it might not be. I'm not saying I know anything for sure. But it sure seems like they're tricking themselves in saying it was all these wonderful things. Because being a successful person does seem like magic. Does seem like just the things falling into place. But it really isn't. It really isn't. It is, there are attributes that make things fall into place. That simple. Funny, but true, I think. Alright, well, I need to let this go. I didn't really do what I did on the other recording. I'm going to have to try and see if I can recreate that, because it was going really well. It was going really well, and it wasn't really a jab at college, particularly. So, maybe on the next edition, when I'm going back through all the places I've got to go back through to take care of problems, I will do that. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 617. A little thing about byproducts. You know, I think that would be a good title for it, byproducts. Anyway, if you would like me to come speak to your group, if you would like me to come and be a part of a breakout session, whatever you want me to do, I'll come do it. If you are a college and you definitely do not want me to talk about these things, just say, Jay, we don't want to hear any of that crap that you spout about college not being the most important thing to people's success. Well, then I say, well, then, you know, I'm not going to say that it is because that would be a lie. You need to get me to talk about something else instead. So I don't think I'm going to get a lot of colleges wanting me to speak at them because I'm not going to say what they want to have heard. But, hey, it doesn't matter to me. If you want to pay the money and you want to bring me out to talk to people about these things, you know, hey, feel free. The phone number is 1-575-461-2716. It's easy, it's simple, just do it. I will come and I will speak. Now, you're going to have to provide for my expenses and you know, you're going to have to pay me a little bit to do this. Get serious. If you prefer email as at least the first contact, we're going to have to talk by phone just so I know you're a human being later. But if you want that first contact to be from email, please email me at autism, AUTISM, at quix.us. I'd be glad to come. I'd be glad to come and speak about all kinds of things. If you want me to pick it, I'll be glad. I'll be glad to pick the topic for you. If you have a certain thing you'd like me to speak about, I'll be glad to do that too. This is Jay Nemro. Have a great day.